Let's open our Bibles to a scripture in the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. The book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. Verses 4 to 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10.
Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I sent you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.
Amen. Hallelujah. This evening I want to title the message, Securing the Insecure. Securing the Insecure. Open your mouth and say, Securing the Insecure. We all have struggled with insecurity at some point of our lives. That word insecurity actually means no confidence, lack of assurance, self-doubt, uncertain, indecisive. That's what it means. I didn't know about you, but I have struggled with insecurity all through my life. Right up to the point I walked onto the stage. I do not know how many of you had friends or people who would know how to make fun of the very things that you don't like about yourself. Maybe schoolmates. Somehow, strangely, they figure out that one thing that you don't like, and it so happens, they would make fun of you in that exact spot. Maybe you're conscious of your feet or about your hair or about your nose or about your ears or something or the other, and somehow this begins to sense that, and before you know, they make fun of you. Jeremiah was a prophet of God, but he was a very insecure person. He was afraid. It is because he was afraid that God said to him in the 8th verse, be not afraid of their faces. Sometimes you can be afraid of people's faces. That happens to me sometimes when I come into the pulpit. There are people sitting there and smiling. There are people sitting there sometimes sleeping. There are people who have this agitated look on their faces. There are people sitting there with an attitude, please get me out of this misery. When will the service end? You have all kinds of people sitting in there. And in the initial years of my life, I would go in a pulpit and I would be praying so hard behind the stage. Tremendously scared, having butterflies in my stomach. My knees would be shaking and I would have to hold the pulpit with one hand and I would have to stand like this and I would show something like this so that they wouldn't see my knees shaking. So they would think this is style, this is something, he's very spiritual, he's praying inside, he's full of the Holy Ghost, ready to be raptured, you know. But the fact was that I was pretty insecure. Insecurity will hinder you from walking in your gifting. Insecurity will make you jealous of other people. Insecurity will make you compare yourself with others. Insecurity will make you to despise yourself and all that's gone on in your life. And you wish that you were in somebody else's shoes. God does not want you to be insecure. Can you understand that? And I pray tonight, this evening's message will help somebody to be free of insecurity. That God will secure the insecure. That God will fill you with confidence and with boldness, that you might do all that God has called you to do. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're insecure about your future, insecure about your life, insecure about your relationships. We all have seasons of insecurity, but God does not want us to have a lifestyle or a habit of insecurity. And this evening, I believe that God is setting somebody free from a deep-rooted insecurity and gonna fill you with the Holy Ghost love and faith and power that'll give you confidence to take on the world. Oh, amen. How many of you actually believe that God wants you to celebrate yourself? Every time the devil makes you think, what has God done for you? Look what God has done for somebody else. And you're always miserable and you seldom realize it is insecurity. Insecure people cannot fully understand God's purpose over their lives. If insecurity is deep-rooted, it can lead them to a type of rebellion against God. They don't know why, but they're just upset with God. Insecurity will cause you to dress up in such a way that you get the attention of people around you. There's nothing wrong with dressing well. Please dress well and please make sure that you wear some dress. But how many of you know that you can't build your life on the externals? If you're always, you know, trying to draw attention somewhere to cover your insecurity by doing something in the external, I have news for you. In due time, you will have a small stomach. You will lose your hair. I pray that you don't have this too. But chances are that you will have things not the way that you want it. Insecure people will often sometimes get into wrong relationships, try to sleep around, somehow to feel they're kind of competent as men or as women. They still got what it takes. Are you with me today? Insecure people are timid, afraid, they have a turmoil inside. Some of the symptoms of insecurity. They struggle inside. They have these failure feelings, frustrations, and more than anything else, they are over concerned about what people think about them. And you sometimes feel like a puppet where the devil or people try somehow to pull the strings. Something or the other is out of control, and it is just making your insecurity worse. You're trying to manage your insecurity and somehow somebody's pulling some string. Somehow you feel the person who's supposed to make you feel secure is not picking up your phone, is not responding to you on Twitter, on Facebook or on WhatsApp or whatever. I mean, something or the other, something. You feel as if your security is in the hands of someone or somebody. Maybe if things were perfect around you, you would feel more secure. But none of those things can make you secure. So I want to give you four things from the scripture that we read, something very simple, where you can base your security. And that is the first chapter of Jeremiah, the four things that we can base your security.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.
Four simple things to base your security. Before I formed you, the first point is to really, really understand that God formed you. It's simple, but I pray that you will get it. You will capture that. God formed you. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not born out of some moment of pleasure of your father or mother. You were formed by God. Are you with me? God formed you. Maybe your parents don't like you. Maybe they have not shown their love for you. But for you to somehow realize, it doesn't matter. If they rejected you, or if they threw you out of the house, or put you in boarding school, or never showed their love for you, it is important for you to realize it is God Almighty who formed you. Wow, somebody needs to shout to that. God formed you. You need to say to yourself, God formed me. God formed me. God formed me. Can you believe that God formed you? He fashioned you. That word form means to fashion and to frame. God actually fashioned you. It is because God is the one who fashioned you, you can embrace the circumstances in which you had to grow up. Maybe you grew up in a broken family, dysfunctional family, miserable family. Maybe you grew up in a tough world. Maybe something bad happened to you. Maybe everything in your life is not the way you imagined how it would be. But you gotta believe what God's word says. Are you with me? You won't feel it, but this is what God's word says. He formed you. He formed you. He fashioned you forth. I don't know how many of you have compared yours with somebody else. The two actors that I grew up looking up to, George Clooney and Richard Gere, they are not in the Bible. They are not prophets. And so there was certain thing about my look which I didn't like. I don't want to tell you, okay? And so I wish, okay, if I had some of the qualities of George Clooney and some of the things of Richard Gere, woo, a combination like that, wow. And it took me years to understand from God's word that God formed me. He fashioned me for the perfect height, the perfect way that He wanted. Because if I was a George Clooney or a Richard Gere, everybody would be looking at them and saying, wow, instead of listening to the message. But because I'm a way bit, not like them, a way bit, just a little bit, just a little bit. A little bit lower than that, you're actually hearing my message and not going, wow. Are you with me? Because God had a plan about my life. God saw me as a preacher. He wanted somebody to look to Jesus. He wanted somebody to hear the word. He didn't want somebody to look to me and get fascinated with me. He wanted somebody to look to Jesus and get fascinated with Jesus. And he knew, hallelujah, this is the way I'm supposed to be. So can you believe that God fashioned you? The way that your height is, the way your nose is, the way your ears are, the way your teeth is. Don't compare yours with somebody else. God has got a purpose for the way that you look. Are you with me? Even though you feel miserably sad every time you look in the mirror, God has got a purpose in the way that he created you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody again and say, God formed you. God fashioned you. God framed you. Your temperament, your style. If God wanted some change, you know, I mean, we all look to do a cosmetic surgery. You know what I mean? With the way that medicine and technology and all that has gone by leap and bounds, we say, okay, if I could do a little bit of, maybe just take my stomach a little bit more in, and if I could get my lips a little bit more out, and we look for all that. If there is, I mean, if you can't breathe through your nose, okay, do a plastic surgery, do something so you can breathe. But what I'm saying is, if you're medically fit, remember the way that you are is the way that God wanted you, and you're beautiful. Praise the Lord. Everything that God created is beautiful. You are beautiful. The color of your skin is beautiful. The shape of your eyes is beautiful. You are wonderful the way that you're made. God fashioned you and framed you. There is nothing for you to feel insecure about yourself, but celebrate yourself in the Lord, because God's creation is beautiful. Praise the Lord. Amen. God actually even determined the environment you should be raised up. You think it is a pretty bad house that you grew up in. God determined it. To put things in perspective, if God wanted you to be born in some other family, he would have done that. But he didn't want that, because he knows that because you grew up in a house like this, you can empathize, you can understand, because you went through this situation. You can depend on the Lord. Are you with me? He can use your weakness, the challenges, the environment in which you grew up, all that for his glory and for, hallelujah, his purpose to be fulfilled on planet earth. He's fashioned you and formed you because he loves you. Sometimes you wish, you know, maybe if I had more understanding parents, maybe if I had more wealth in my home, maybe if I had this, if this, things were different, if things were better that way. You know, you're despising the fact. You're saying, God, you didn't know. You made a mistake. And as long as you don't embrace the circumstances in which you find yourself in, you will never find deep-rooted peace and joy and security within you. Are you with me? Because security is something which God gives inside. And he wants you to base it on the first aspect. What is it? God formed you. God formed you. God formed you. Say that to yourself. God formed me. God formed me. Amen. And look at Jeremiah 1, the second one, where he wants you to base your security. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew you. Can you believe that? Some of the greatest struggles of insecurity is when you realize, nobody understands me. Nobody knows me. Nobody cares. I thought my husband would care. I thought my children would care. I thought my pastor would care. I thought somebody else would. Nobody cares. Nobody understands me. But I knew you, the Lord says. Can you believe that? This is just not a scripture. This is God's word. This is the truth. God knows you. That word knew you means to be seen, to perceive. God knew you before your daddy and mommy came together to form you. Are you with me? God knew you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God knew you before the foundation of the earth. And that is why God formed you with a mission and a purpose in life. Isn't it pretty, pretty securing to know that God knows me inside out. With all the things that I've done, everything that's gone on in my life, God knows me. And He loves me. God formed me. He knows me. I mean, I don't know why I'm keeping repeating the same thing. You know why? Because I just pray the Holy Spirit will drill this to you. That insecurity would depart from your life. Somewhere you will realize your purpose in life and you will feel secure. God knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows you're sitting down, you're lying down. He knows your failures, your struggles. He knows your pain. He knows everything. Can you imagine that? God knows you. It's an amazing thought. God knows me. For years, you know, I would say, Lord, especially when the church began to grow. When the church was small, it was pretty okay. I'm not saying we have a huge church. What I'm saying is, from being four people in a room where we used to pray together, I mean, so many people was a big, big thing. And I thought, Lord, you know, the pressure got to me. Because before there was no pressure when we were just four people. And so I began to pray, I think literally for about four or five New Year's, when the beginning of the year, January, I would call my associate pastors, if my memory is right, at least two or three of them, I would call them together and I would tell them, this year I want one of you to take charge and take care of the church. Because all through December I would be praying that God would raise up another pastor, a stronger, anointed, gifted, you know, holy, good person up here. And when January came and nothing like that sort of happened, I would go into like a depression, boom. And I call my associate pastors and tell them, hey guys, please take care of the church. Am I saying the truth? Yeah? And the Holy Spirit had to tell me, son, I know you with all your weakness, with all your struggles, with all your dysfunction and mood swings and habits and nature and all that. I know you and I still called you. Praise the Lord. You did not choose me, I chose you. I still called you because I have a purpose that I want to fulfill through you. Hallelujah. That's the same way with you. Are you with me? God knows you and He's called you. Lift your hands and rejoice in the Lord for that. Hallelujah. The third point is even more amazing. It gets crazier by the moment when you read those scriptures. It says in the fifth verse, before they came forth of the womb, before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Can you imagine that? Can you believe it? God actually, that word sanctified means to clean up and set apart. To clean up clean up. Say that with me, clean up and set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. Clean up, set apart. Are you with me? How many of you girls do dishes at home? After your family has had a dinner or breakfast or whatever, they leave the dishes and you get to clean up and to set it apart. Clean up and set apart. And God is saying, before you were born, I cleaned you out and set you apart. How many of you got some dirt in you? How many of you still got some dirt in you? If you are honest to yourself, you know there are certain things in your life that you are ashamed of, certain things that you are not too proud of, certain things that you feel is not that holy or that sanctified or that good. Some of you a little bit more. Some of you just a wee little bit, but some of you way a little bit more. Everybody has got some mess that they need to clean up. Most of you struggle with the fact, how can God use me when I trip and fall so many times? Have you gone through it? I pastored, I began pastoring when I was 21. And I was pastoring youth. Week after week, they would come up with the same mess again and again. And then I thought, oh my God, now how do I find some holy people to be in charge over the church? Most of the churches have elders and deacons and all that. Aren't you glad we don't have any of those kind of demons in our church? I'm sorry, deacons in our church. The Lord said, look at people whom I've called. I've already sanctified them. They are work in progress. You be patient with them. If you wait till they are perfect, they will never serve God. Are you with me? If you wait in your life till you are perfect, you will never serve God. So you gotta learn based on the scripture to start where you are. Look at somebody and say, start where you are. So you might have just come back from a party. You might be smelling of drinks. You might have just smoked a weed and you might have walked into this place. But start from where you are. God sanctified you before you smoked that weed, before you had that drink. God had already sanctified you and set you apart for His glory. So start glorifying Jesus the way you are. Don't wait for you to get it all together. Is it echoing? Or is it the Holy Spirit? Are you with me today? Aren't you glad that you were sanctified? You don't look sanctified. You don't look at all sanctified. Look at your neighbor in the eye. You don't look sanctified, but you are sanctified by God. God has set you apart. Praise the Lord. That is why we need to bear up with each other. Are you with me? Sometimes people can walk into a church like this and you know, I mean, in our culture, I have seen that, you know, sometimes people can be fooling around all through the week and they come in and they expect believers, pastors to be kind of like perfect. We are supposed to be like angels, you know. And so people get very judgmental and they get very upset. They, you know, they got a big log in their eye, but they look at the speck in somebody else's eye and they say, oh, look at that person. He's serving the Lord. He's singing. He's preaching. Look, he's an usher in the church. But we are work in progress. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes you gotta know there are certain things that is bad, that is wrong that you're doing. Leave the baggage and roll on. Move on. Look at somebody and say, just roll on. Move on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has sanctified you. Don't carry. Just leave the baggage and walk on for glory of God. Many of you don't realize you have been delivered from the power of sin. But you sin out of routine. Are you with me? If you really, really are honest to yourself, after you have tasted the goodness of the Lord and you do something wrong, are you really, really happy that you did something wrong? Now you feel miserable because you know why? The truth is God had set you free. That sin does not have power over you anymore, but you're continuing to do what you did before out of routine. But sometimes you gotta say, no, I don't need to do that. I'm pretty okay not smoking a cigarette. I think I'm okay. It is okay, I don't watch pornography anymore. It's okay. I don't have to sleep around. Listen, I think I'm fine. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say that, I am sanctified in the Lord. I am sanctified in the Lord. I am sanctified in the Lord. Amen. You base your security on that. And the last one, it says in the fifth verse, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee. Say, I ordained you. God ordained you. Open your mouth and say, God ordained me. Praise the Lord. That word ordained means to place in you everything that you need to fulfill the task that God has appointed for you. That word ordained mean to place in you everything that you need to fulfill the task God has got for you. You might not have an ordination paper. Somebody asks you, are you ordained? I remember the first time I went for, my visa when I had to travel to US with my parents to meet my brother. They asked me, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. They said, where's your ordination letter? I said, I don't have one. Sometimes you go to certain services, they say, where is your collar? Well, you might not have a collar, you might not have an ordination paper, but God has ordained you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has ordained you. God has ordained you to fulfill His task. Are you with me? I mean, I was sitting and thinking for a moment, if I was actually, just like you apply for a job, if I was going to apply for a job as a pastor and I had to fill my resume, and I had to give to a church board, this is my resume, this is who I am. They would kick me out. They would shoot me down. Are you with me? None of you in your life can post your resume and say, listen, I'm applying for ordination to be a minister for the Lord. But the truth is, God says, I have ordained you. I have appointed you. You don't need papers from somebody. I have appointed you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen and appointed you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you have been ordained to write books. I pray those giftings will be emerge out of you from the month of June onwards. Ordained to write books. ordained to travel around the world, ordained to do a business, ordained to do some great exploit, ordained to find out some new discovery that will help humankind, ordained to bring forth something for the glory of God on the planet earth, ordained to be more creative, to greater measure manifest for the blessing of God over somebody's life. Amen. God has ordained you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ordained to preach the gospel. Are you with me? Amen. You base your security on these four things. I wanted to say these words with me while I close up. Security, insecurity, and arrogance. What's the distinction between all three? Security, insecurity, and arrogance. The distinction is this: when and who you put your confidence in. If you put your confidence in your education, in your looks, in your talents, you're arrogant. Are you with me? Are you with me? But if you put your trust and confidence in the person of Jesus and in His word, hallelujah, you are secure. You are not insecure. You are secure in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Securing the insecure. I pray this word will work effectually within your hearts, and the Holy Spirit will give you a security that comes from God alone, and you will be confident and bold even to pray, even to approach God, and even to cast out the devil and heal the sick and declare the wonderful works of Jesus Christ to the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, and praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, and praise Him. Praise Him. Lift your voice and praise the name of Jesus today.